Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Today, we rekindle the candles of hope and peace, and light the candle of joy. In Scripture, we learn that John, called the Baptist, is a witness who testifies to the light. Jesus is the light of the world, who fully reveals and embodies God's love. We give thanks for all who serve in the Issaquah Meals ministry as witnesses to that light. The light of the world is the source of our joy and our strength in service to others. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all of your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll sing Canticle 9 responsively. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my Savior. Therefore you shall draw water with rejoicing from the springs of salvation. And on that day you shall say, "Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name." Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make his deeds known among the peoples. see that they remember that his name is exalted. Sing the praises of the Lord, for he has done great things, and this is known in all the world. Cry aloud, inhabitants of Zion, ring out your joy, for the great one in the midst of you is the Holy One of Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, and call upon his name.
Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Technical difficulties. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water. But one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning, you brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Good news, right? Snakes. I hate snakes, by the way. People threaten on St. Francis Day to bring snakes here for me to bless. Don't do it. Snakes, vipers, wrath, unquenchable fire. Good news, right? Now, if you listen closely to this gospel reading, that last sentence seems to be very ironic. How on earth is calling your congregation a bunch of snakes and all this talk of wrath and unquenchable fire good news? This gospel reading that you just heard certainly seems to be completely out of sync with the other readings for the day. That reading from Zephaniah and then the one from Paul's letter to the Philippians, rejoice! And again I say rejoice. Today, as you know, is the third Sunday of Advent, and that gospel reading just does not go with what we call Gaudete Sunday, which is the Sunday of joy. So, what should I preach to you about today? Rejoice always, and again, I say rejoice, you brood of vipers. I mean, these readings, this is a really strange mixture of scripture readings. What I would call a sweet and sour Advent surprise. So what is Luke in this gospel trying to communicate? How is it that John's message is good news? Well, I'm going to go ahead and lay my hand out on the table and tell you what the good news is, and then we'll come back and unpack it. Now, don't leave after I tell you what the ace is, okay? You got to stay for the rest of it. The good news in this passage is that we are the wheat, the good stuff, the good fruit that brings nourishment and enrichment. You know, you make bread out of that. And what's better than a good loaf, hot loaf of fresh bread, especially when you have chicken and dumplings the night before? The chaff is the stuff, the things that cling to us, and the things to which we cling. And we, too often like the crowds who come to hear John preach, think that that chaff stuff, which for us in our day and time would be possessions, accomplishments, careers, all of those things that our culture tells us will bring joy and peace, the joy and peace that all of us desire. So John's message is meant to rattle, to shake up the conscience of those who come to hear it. And so it does. It does the trick. And they say, well, what should we do? Now, to be honest with you, what John suggests they do in this passage is not really that radical. And it's not really that hard, at least for most of us. I mean, think about it. It's not terribly difficult if you have two coats to give one of your coats away. We had a coat drive last year, and we had coats coming out of the wazoo. It's not such a big deal for most of us. We all look pretty healthy. We drove up in a decent car, probably. But it's not anything unusual or radical for us to buy a few extra cans of food to put in a food drive. It's not too hard for us to stop stealing. I hope you're not stealing anyway. Most of us don't. I hope. If so, talk to me after the service. But as you work your way through this passage, what you discover is that for John, at least, doing these things, and they're good things, they're not bad things, but doing these things is not the starting point. In fact, it's not even the goal. The truth is, it's not the stuff that gets in the way. It's not food, it's not coats, it's not career advancement. It goes much deeper, which is why John suggests that doing good things is not enough. And again, it's not bad to do those good things, but it never really does get to the root of the human problem. The deeper issue is that the state of our heart, which has us holding on to the chaff. You know, those things in our lives that keep us from being the authentic, integrated human beings that all of us were created to be. And what is good news about John's message is that it seeks to cut through all the surface level BS. You can translate that however you want to, but it gets beneath the surface level stuff like a laser to get at the heart of the human condition. John says we need a change in our orientation. That's what repentance means. It means to change directions, to turn. And while that change in orientation requires our consent, and it does in our participation, John tells us we cannot do that on our own. A little dunk in the river, a religious ritual, lighting a few candles, a degree in theology, or going to another seminar or retreat on spirituality, those things are good, but they will not do the trick. And that's where the good news comes in. John tells the crowds. He points to the crowds. He points them to the work that the coming Messiah will do. Jesus will do the work of burning the chaff away. Do you notice that in the text? We don't do the burning of the chaff away. Some of us would like to burn the chaff of some of the others, wouldn't we? I would. But that's not our work. That is God's work. God will help us do the work of burning that stuff in our lives that keeps us from experiencing the joy and the peace that Jesus promised his disciples. The stuff that hides, the stuff that suppresses the person God created us to be, the stuff that keeps us from living a life of wholehearted love for God and neighbor. John's baptism could dunk you in water and you'd come up a little bit cleaner. Maybe not in the Jordan River if you've ever been there. It's kind of dirty. But Jesus offers us a different kind of baptism. A baptism that can soak you in the very life and the very breath of God. And when you come up out of that baptism, you not only come up clean, you come up transformed. Not that there is not work for us to do, there is. And that's one of the reasons we observe Advent, to get us ready to think about what needs to be changed in our orientation toward life, to think about the chaff, the stuff that has been piled on. I'm reminded of an invention that changed the life of the little town I grew up in South Alabama. Actually, it's not a town, and you can find it on the map these days. It's Danzyville is the name of the little community in South Alabama. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever shelled peas? Anyone? Do you even know? You know what I'm talking about, I hope. Have you ever shelled peas with your hands? Well, if you have, you know what an arduous, boring task that is. I used to hate it when my grandparents wanted me to shell peas. Now, one day we heard that my grandfather's brother, Uncle Harvey, had bought this contraption called a pea sheller, which was wire. It was a wire basket that went one way, and then the paddles on the inside went the other way. And there was a little switch on it. It was connected to a motor, and that thing would turn. The paddles turning this way and the outer wire basket turning that way. Now, we had no idea there was such a thing. And I don't know exactly who invented the pea sheller or when it was invented, but Uncle Harvey discovered the pea sheller. I think the advent of the pea sheller in our community happened about the time of the first manned landing on the moon. But I think in our community, it was actually the pea sheller that got more attention. In any case, one day we carried this big tub of peas to my uncle's house to get them shelled. And so we shoved all these peas in that pea sheller and flipped on the switch, and here it went. And I remember that we were all really disappointed that the pea sheller didn't do all the work. We still had to sift through the shelled peas to find the ones that were rotten or even worse, had worms in them. I think what John is trying to tell us in this passage, that there is work that only God can do in this sifting of our lives that needs to be done. And this is very Anglican, isn't it? There is work for us to do as well in that sifting. But our work without God's work will not get the job done. And John is saying the good news is God is willing and able to do that work. And what we have to do is to pluck up the courage to be real with ourselves, to be real with one another, to be honest with ourselves about what is keeping us from the ongoing work of transformation, and then determine to do something about it. God wants to do that kind of work in us because He loves us too much to let us wallow in our illusions. And this time of year, we are in an illusion fantasy world. Just watch the Hallmark Channel. And there was another one out yesterday that we watched for a little while until it got so syrupy. I think we had to go take a shower. It was so syrupy. We have created this illusion in our culture and society. And what John and the gospel tells us is that we were not created to live a life of illusion. We were not created by God for a life of positioning ourselves, for greed, for self-absorbed, self-centered living. We were not created to build walls that separate us by class, race, economic stance, or even religion. God created each one of us to live an authentic, integrated life. Lives that are rooted and grounded in the mercy and grace of God. Lives that are ablaze with the fire of God's love. Lives that are soaked in the very life and love of God. So what is the chaff to which you cling this day? What is it that keeps you from being the wheat, the fruit, the source of nourishment and strength that this world so desperately needs? Now, I'm about to turn 65, and I've been around a few years. And I've watched the progress, the so-called progress, of our culture. And I'm convinced of this today more so than ever before. Brothers and sisters, the world will not be saved. We will not be saved by a political party, by the government, by a politician. We will not be saved by any of the organizations or movements in which we currently are investing our hope, including organized religion. Now, all of those things can do some good in this world, and they can be good resources and tools. But as a human society, think about this. We were talking about it in formation this morning, about the homeless situation in our own area. I am convinced that we could almost eliminate poverty, hunger, and many diseases that we face, and we could learn to live in peace if we would be willing to be stripped of the chaff of our ego, our pride, our self-centeredness, so that the transforming love of God could do its work in our lives and in the world. And that is the work of Advent. That is why we do this. So what is it that is standing in the way of the life of peace and joy and love that Jesus promised everyone who follows him? What is it? Whatever it is, John's message is good news. It's gospel. Jesus is ready and willing to help us sort out in our lives what is worth keeping and what this day needs to be thrown away. And here is the question for all of us to think about this day and in the coming week. Will you, will I, let him do that work in us? Amen.
Please join me as we proclaim our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son,
With the Father and the Son, she is worshipped and glorified. She has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In the hushed anticipation of your coming, O Lord, kindle in us the desire to remain watchful, that we might be ready for your coming and eager to pray.
O God of love and faithfulness, we pray for the church that we would increase and abound in love. Strengthen our hearts in holiness so that we might reflect your justice, mercy, and righteousness. Come, Lord Jesus.
And hear our prayer.
In your time, O Lord, the valleys shall be lifted up, the mountains and hills shall be made low, and the rough places will become a plain. We pray for our nation and all nations, that your peace would be manifest in every corner of the earth. Come, Lord Jesus.
And hear our prayer.
In your kingdom, O Lord, you bring unending comfort. You feed your flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs into your arms. We pray for the sick, the suffering, and those in distress, especially Paul, Caden, Habiba, and the rest of our Afghan refugee family, Megan, Mike, Jim, Sarah, Bobby, Jane, Heather, Eli, Judy, Holly, Irene, Jay, Marlene, and those we now name.
David and Cindy.
That you would heal all injuries, comfort all grief, and settle all wrongs. Come, Lord Jesus.
And hear our prayer.
Your great works of redemption, O God, span the ages. We pray for those who rejoice this week for the birthdays of Valerie, Brenda, Jim, and Rick, that they might obtain joy and gladness. Come, Lord Jesus.
And hear our prayer.
In the fullness of time, O God, you sent your Son to be born of our sister Mary, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you for your presence with us, and we pray that you might always be present with those whom we love but see no longer, especially Courtney, Elena, Linda, Anne, Verna, and those we now name.
Peggy, the victims of the tornadoes.
Come, Lord Jesus.
And hear our prayer. Hasten, O Father, the coming of your kingdom, and grant that we, your servants, who now live by faith, may with joy behold your Son at his coming in glorious majesty, even Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you. You may be seated, or you can remain standing if you want to. You can dance. Or good morning and welcome to all of you. If you're watching us online, thank you for joining us in this service of worship today. Several announcements. So here we go. Do you know that Christmas Eve is next week?
Oof.
It's here. This is Advent 3. And that means that on Christmas Eve, we're going to have three services, 3, 5, and 10. The 5 o'clock and the 10 o'clock will be online as well. I encourage you, if you plan on coming to those services, to get here early, especially at the 5 and the 10, there's going to be quite a few, several minutes of pre-service music. But we want to make sure we get everyone seated safely. So if you are coming, plan to get here a little bit early. This evening at 5 o'clock is Carols and Cookies. Thankfully, we're able to resume that event. And if you don't know what that is, well, the name is Carols and Cookies. We're going to sing Christmas carols. It's very informal, and we're going to have lots of homemade cookies and a hot chocolate bar. St. Nicholas is going to visit tonight as well. And it's just a really fun, informal, relaxed time of celebrating the season. Every year during Advent, we focus on a number of outreach and service projects. I want to remind you that the scholarship fund, the Lake Washington Technical Scholarship Fund that we sponsor, we're receiving donations for that. And the poinsettias that will decorate the church on Christmas Eve, you can. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex on the table out there so that you can sign up to sponsor 1 or 40 poinsettias. And you can designate those in memory or in honor or in thanksgiving. Issaquah Mills occurred yesterday, and they are looking for more hands to help serve and to cook food as well. Lisa Treadway over here can give you more information about that. So if you're interested in serving there, contact Lisa after the service. She'll be happy to talk with you about that. As you know, there were a series of devastating tornadoes in the center part of our country yesterday. And I think even as we have been in worship today, the death toll has continued to climb. Very, very disturbing scenes coming out, especially out of Kentucky. There are many ways that you can help those in need there. The Red Cross, you may have a favorite charity that does that kind of emergency relief work. You can get online, you can get on our website or the Episcopal Church's website and contribute to the Episcopal Relief and Development Fund. All of that money is going to go directly to the bishops in those affected areas to provide housing and food and try to alleviate as much human suffering as possible. So I really encourage your generosity in this effort over the next few days. We are still collecting pledges. If you've not turned in your pledge card yet, if you're a member of this parish, please try to do that within the next week or so we can put together the budget for next year. Beginning in Epiphany, we are going to invite members of the congregation to help write the prayers of the people. Our deacon intern, Sue Ming, right back there, is going to lead that effort. She will be glad to talk with you after the service about what that means. And I encourage you to get involved in that. It'll be a great project and your way of participating in the liturgy and worship of this parish. Communion today, there will be two stations here at the front. We encourage you to wash, well, not to wash, but to sanitize your hands with a hand sanitizer you'll find in front of you. Keep your mask on. Come up to receive the consecrated bread. And if you desire to receive the consecrated wine, there will be Eucharistic ministers with the cup on either side. We don't allow intinction or dipping into the wine at this point. But if you do wish to receive, they will be there and make that available to you. Let us walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us an offering and sacrifice unto God.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time, you made ready the creation. Your Spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being, sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again, you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day, we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. And honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death, and to reveal the riches of your grace, you looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then, the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth, and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen. And now, as Christ our Savior has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. For those of you at home, we invite you to join us in the prayer for virtual communion. Come, Lord Jesus, and dwell in my heart in the fullness of your strength. Be my wisdom and guide me in right pathways. Conform my life and actions to the image of your holiness, and in the power of your gracious might, rule over every hostile power that threatens or disturbs the growth of your kingdom, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. May he whose second coming in power and great glory we await make you steadfast in faith, joyful in hope, and constant in love. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Go in joy and peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.